eating nuclear time bombs.
Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I have a new friend of mine on, again, carrying along with the theme of new friends I have interviewed. But this guy's name is Chris Norris, and he's from Erie, Pennsylvania. And as you'll see in the interview or hear in the interview, we have an odd connection there to what he's doing, to what I've done in my life as well. And so Chris and I talk about online church stuff, and we talk about some of my analytics, but we talk about really about how he does church online and what they're looking forward to doing and how it's working for them. And so if you're an online campus pastor and you're in charge of the online ministry in any capacity, really, this is a great conversation to have because Chris and I have two different experiences. We do church online differently, which is one of the things I love about church online. As similar as it is, it can also be very different. And so Chris and I have a wonderful conversation. So without any further ado, let's get in the conversation now talking church online with Chris Norris. All right, with me right now is Chris Norris. Chris, how are you?
I am great, Tom. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. It's a little cold down here, but I would imagine where you are, it's a little bit different. What is it like up in Erie, Pennsylvania right now?
Well, it's kind of been, actually, I got to be honest, I've been kind of embellishing it a little bit because we were trending on Twitter there around Christmas. And, yeah. You know, my tweets, my personal tweets were getting a lot of organic reach because I was using that hashtag EriePA. But it's very cold. Like it is pretty much up and down the entire East Coast. But we've got about a foot of snow on the ground right now, give or take. We've got blasted again over the weekend. It's crazy because, like, I'm sure you experienced it down near DC too. Like, it was 55 degrees on, was it Thursday? And then Friday, it's 7. So it's been needless to say, it's cold and eerie, but all is well here.
Well, that's okay. So 1 foot of snow is much better than the 5 or 6 feet of snow you had around Christmas time, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. Luckily, my wife and I, we traveled. We just beat it. We left on Christmas Eve.
Oh, nice.
Day, and we were traveling to see some family, and we beat it all, and God bless my neighbors. They actually plowed my driveway while I was gone. When I got back, I mean, I wouldn't even been able to get near my house if they wouldn't have plowed the sidewalk and the driveway for me. But it was insane. Yeah, like 120-some inches of snow we've already had in Erie. And Christmas Day to Christmas, the day after Christmas, there was like 5.5, 6 feet of snow. It was crazy, man.
Dude, I just saw all that stuff from all the national news. And again, even on Facebook, it had trending Erie, Pennsylvania. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, and I have a fascination with Erie because I went to Mercyhurst College where you actually work. So we'll get into that in a second. But so I got scared off by the snow because it snowed, I think, on Halloween. And then when I was up there, and then when I left, Lake Erie was still kind of frozen in May. And I'm like, this is crazy. I can't do this kind of stuff. So God bless you all for that.
Yeah, it's working at a university. It's a tough sell sometimes. We try not to schedule too many campus visits in the winter because we don't want to scare people away.
Yes. All right. Well, you and I know each other a little bit just from talking back and forth, but let's talk to our audience a little bit. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you got involved with that.
Sure thing. Yeah. I am actually born and raised in Sharon, Pennsylvania, raised in a Presbyterian, a loving, wonderful Presbyterian church called Covenant Presbyterian. I am a huge baseball fan, so I kind of launched my young career after college in actually minor league baseball, which is kind of far away from where I'm at now, but I got a degree in pass communications and doing sports, doing baseball. Once I realized I wasn't good enough for the major leagues, I thought maybe I'd pursue a career in sports casting. But I got a lot of great background and experience in video production, audio production, just a lot of good general communication skills from my experience at Westminster College, which is down in New Wilmington, Pennsylvania. And from there, you know, I was right on the cusp of social media. When I was coming out of college, Facebook was still kind of like a, you had to ask permission to get access to Facebook. You had to register what college you were attending. It was still very young. But I remember being very intrigued by social media and the online digital space and thinking like, maybe I don't want to do TV and radio. Maybe I want to jump into the whole online atmosphere because it's going to blow up, you know? And I look back on those moments now and I know that that was, you know, God tugging on my heart to say, you know, hey, you need to invest some energy and some effort into this. So fast forward to where I'm at now, I work at Mercer University. I get to do digital media and communications there. I'm in charge of the website. I do a lot of social media and I even still get to do some video content creation, which is fantastic. I love it. And how I kind of got into ministry is just, I loved the church. I believe in the church. I'm heavily involved in the church. I've done a little bit of everything there. And one day it just kind of hit me, you know, during my quiet time with God in the morning, I thought, you know what, I wonder if it's possible to mesh some of my passions and skills that I have into a way to glorify Christ. And next thing you know, I'm starting a Twitter account for our senior pastor who not even sure he had a smartphone at the time, but, kind of got plugged in that way. And since then, I've just been able to stay involved with the church in various capacities. Social media, I started a volunteer social media position there. Most of this was part-time or kind of just for fun, to be honest, because I did feel like I was fulfilling a small calling at the time from Christ to kind of get involved with the church more, and kind of led to where I'm at now, which is an online site pastor for our brand new online site at McLean Church. I guess I didn't mention that I'm a part of McLean Church, which is a multi-site church up here in northwestern Pennsylvania. We have three different physical locations, and now we have one online location. Our locations are our mothership, if you will, is in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yep. And then we have a site in Union City, Pennsylvania, which is just southeast of here. Okay. And then we have another site right here in Erie, Pennsylvania, as well. Funny side note about the Erie site: we actually started as a church in a bar. So that's kind of actually was the first time I ever attended McLean Church, was at a bar on a Sunday night. And it was church in a bar. It was like, I was like very intrigued by this. I'm like, I got to check this out. And here I am.
That is fantastic. That is awesome. Well, I'm super excited to talk to you because you're like, as we were talking offline, you're a new voice of online ministry that I really want to talk to and dig into. And I've been doing this series on, you know, analytics and how different people, whether it's a children's minister, student minister, campus pastor, or church communicator, how different people judge their effectiveness and kind of what are the analytics they look at, what are the data they look at as a way to encourage all of us. And you're an online guy, you know, an online ministry guy. So as you look at what you're doing, What are some things that you look at? What are some data points or numbers that you look at in your ministry that think, okay, this is good, this is where we want to go? Like, even if you want to break down too, what does your online campus look like? How many services do you stream, and do you do any rebroadcasts or life groups? So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, I'll start with the original vision of our online site was a blank canvas, which is probably, I'm sure there's other online site pastors out there that might be envious of that. I feel like sometimes you go into a project or even starting an online campus and you might have a vision from the senior pastor and then a vision from your communications guy and then a vision from you. And I was fortunate enough to be basically given a blank slate. Our senior pastor, the weekend he announced it to our church, he literally said, I have no idea what church online is, but Chris Norris does, and he's going to start an online church for us. And I remember thinking that's good and bad, like no prayer, man. But it was a blank slate for me. So what it looks like now, and it's obviously still developing because we launched in October, just October 15th of 2017. So just over 2 months ago. Right now we have three services on Sundays that are simulated live services. So basically, the way it works out for us is that we have a Saturday evening service at our Edinburgh location, 6 o'clock, and we tape that sermon at 6 o'clock on Saturday evenings. That night, our video team adds it to some worship music, pre-recorded worship videos that we've shot. They add it to my intro, you know, introducing myself and how people can interact with us at the online site, how they can connect with us offline. Cool. Basically, just I'm kind of just like the face there to introduce, you know, the online site pastor. I'm the guy that is going to be present during the services if you need prayer or you want to connect. I introduce myself, and then, you know, we have a moment at the end, similar to how Life Church and Craig Rochelle does things, where we call people to maybe take a next step in their faith. And we encourage them to, you know, click the button and let us know if we can help you take that next step. So our services are kind of still evolving, but that's pretty much what it is at the end of the day. So it's just kind of like one piece, one service that's edited very well together that flows. And we simulate live stream that. And that stream Sunday morning at 9, Sunday morning at 11. Those two services actually parallel our physical site services as well. And then the Sunday night 6:30 service was just kind of like a, hey, you know, the big thing about online church for us was we want to eliminate what we were calling the Sunday morning barrier. A lot of people with kids and a lot of people have stuff going on that they just Sunday mornings, they can't make it work for them. And, Our goal was to try to create a service time where people could say, like, it's okay if we're out of town, or it's okay if we couldn't be there today, we can watch tonight. So our Sunday evening service is for that person. So we have a Sunday evening at 6:30 service as well. And again, it's the same style service. We have, I'm usually present as well during that service. We have online hosts there that welcome people, that just kind of keep pushing the conversation forward. They pray for people. They help people take next steps. We are kind of beta testing a midweek service. Right now we're doing a Wednesday evening at like 6:30 service. It's been hit or miss with that one. I don't know if it's the time of the week, you know, maybe that's too late, but we're still kind of testing that one. But honestly, the biggest thing for us right now is that the services that parallel our physical location services have been the most highly attended ones. So it's funny how God reveals things that prove, you know, we don't have it all figured out. Cause I thought for sure, that Sunday night service would be just packed with people, like, oh, I'm going to sleep in and go to Sunday night service. But it's actually funny. It seems like a lot of people, they still incorporate Sunday morning with church. So they get up, and if they're not going to physical church, they say, well, flip open the laptop and let's do church online. So that's kind of how our services look right now as we are in the early stages of kind of doing this whole thing.
That's really cool. That is awesome. And so I love how you do the simulated live, because we do ours. We have three services, and we stream from our mothership. And we have the three live services, and then we just take that service and then post it. We have a Sunday night service as well that is simulated live. It's just the morning service that we just put up there. But I love how you do the simulated live. You use the Saturday night stuff and then kind of go through it. Now, so let me ask you this question. Are all your campuses doing the same sermon series, or are you guys all on your own on that?
We do have one sermon series that – basically, our Edinburgh is where our senior pastor preaches live in front of a live audience, if you will. And then our multi-sites, Erie and Union City, they get a video feed. It's not really a feed. It's that Saturday night tape sermon that's distributed you know, overnight to the other sites. And then Sunday morning when they fire up the computer, you know, the sermon's there to download. So they aren't, the Erie and Union City sites, our multi-sites, they aren't seeing a live sermon. Occasionally they do. Those site pastors will occasionally preach live, but Edinburgh is where the live preaching takes place. And we are, you know, we are all experiencing the same sermon series, the same music, obviously just different worship bands. But the services are almost identical, and we've had pretty good success making sure that the online site mimics that as well.
That's really cool. And I've seen it's so neat, because I of different people I talk to, different churches with multi-sites do things just differently, and it's really neat to see how creative people can be about just getting the message of Christ out to people. And you know, you adapt to where you're at. And I've heard of video venues before, and we've teetered with that from time to time. Like when we've had a special guest speaker come in, we've taken that message and taken it all to the other campuses as well. So that's really kind of a neat idea. I like that. Now, when you go to your, when you're doing your online site, and you have chat hosts. Are you using the church online platform?
We are using church online platform. Praise God for that. It's an amazing resource, and I still was blown away because that was actually one of the things I was most nervous about when they said, Chris, start an online church. I'm comfortable with promoting it. I'm comfortable with being on camera. I'm comfortable with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know how to build a website, and how's it going to work, and how are we going to integrate a chat function? How are we going to integrate analytics on it? And someone said, dude, everything's just go to church online platform for free. And I'm like, are you serious? Like for free. And yeah, and it's an amazing resource, and we are grateful for it. So yes, to answer your question and plug the church online platform. Yeah. Yes, we are using it. Yeah.
Yeah. So are we. So we're very, very satisfied with it as well. And you have chat hosts, how many do you have per service? So you have one or more?
We have about 2 to 3 per service right now. Which we're fortunate to have that many. Like I said, our 9 and 11 a.m. services on Sunday morning seem to be the most populated. Luckily, we have 2 of our, you know, great volunteers online for those services. But yeah, I feel pretty good about it. That was another thing I was kind of nervous about as I went down this path was, will I have enough volunteers? Are enough volunteers going to even know what this is? Like, mm-hmm. how am I going to recruit volunteers? Because a lot of people still didn't really get what church online was.
Yeah.
So it was hard to find people to be like, yeah, I've done Life Church Online or Elevation Church Online. Like I've done it. I want to be the person on the other end of the screen doing it. And luckily I found a handful of people that stepped up, and they've been fantastic. And quite honestly, I could not have done, you know, any of this without them, because I mean, I'm one person. There's going to be Sundays or Wednesdays when I can't be present. And mm-hmm. luckily I have a fantastic group of volunteers that they do such an amazing job of conversing and communicating and connecting with people as they log on. It's been great.
That's awesome. And do any of your chat hosts, are you guys all in one central location, or are you guys in different locations when you're chat hosting?
Well, let's see. We have, I believe, 2 of my volunteers are from here in Erie. You know, okay. They're just a few miles from where I live. We have 1 from our Edinburgh location, 2 from our Edinburgh location. I'm trying to count, but to answer your question, no, they're actually kind of all spread out, which That's is cool. kind of neat. Yeah. And it's always funny because I always take a moment and say, hey, you know, while we wait for the service to start, let me ask people where they're watching from and where everyone watching from. And my volunteers, I don't know if they do it just to be funny, but my volunteers are always like, oh, we're on the couch in Erie. I'm like, this question isn't for you guys. I know where you're watching from. So I want to know where to try to get the conversation going with people. So, but yeah, there's people in Erie, Edinburgh, Union City. My goal is to try to get somebody that's never stepped foot in our church mm-hmm. to be a volunteer. Cause we do have some folks that watch that have never been to McLean Church, a brick and mortar. Cool. They're just an online person. And I want to get them plugged in as a volunteer at some point. Cause ultimately the goal is to get them to try physical church, you know, to get them from online to offline. But I figured if I can get them to volunteer, you know, maybe I can get them to volunteer at a physical location someday. So that's my next goal, is to get some of our online only people to start volunteering.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. As when I first started doing church online, I was hearing stories of all these people, and they're like, we're reaching so many people all over the world. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to launch this thing and it's just going to explode. And we're going to reach thousands of people immediately. It's going to be awesome. And then reality set in. And I mean, you know, my goal right now is I want to get to 200 IP addresses watching online for our 3 services. We're not there yet. But that's my goal, and we've been doing at it for over 3 years now. So what's been the reality of your situation? Are you getting a lot of local people, or are you starting to see branching out of more and more people?
I completely understand where you're coming from, too, because I remember starting this, and when I was setting goals and our mission, it was like, we're going to reach people all over the world, like Life Church. And then you're right. You kind of realize, like, that's going to be tough to do. So we said from the beginning, we just want to first, let's start right here in our region, because our mission as a church is to transform a region. Mm-hmm. We keep it real, and we say, hey, this is our region, and we want to make a difference right here. And our big mission is to eliminate barriers to give people access to Christ. And one of those barriers we've figured out over the years is the Sunday morning barrier. Some people just, again, we talked about it earlier, they just can't get to church on Sunday. So yeah. That was my main goal. As much as I wanted to say, oh, I want to reach people in third world countries that don't have access, free access to the gospel. But reality did set in, like you said, Tom, It started off at first. It was just mostly people that were curious from our church because we had been talking about this church online. And a lot of people, like, I remember that first launch weekend, I had like a couple hundred people logged on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, praise God. Like, I have hundreds of people at church right now.
Yeah.
And then since then, it's kind of, you know, people checked it out and it's lost a little bit of steam. But what I'm seeing God do that's even cooler is just the little communities and connections he's making within each service. Mm-hmm. That it's almost like people show up at the same time every week and they expect to see the same people and they talk, and these are people they've never met. Mm-hmm. And that is where my, where I have shifted a little bit of my energy is to, like, you know what, someday I could reach somebody over on the other side of the globe. But for right now, if I'm connecting someone from Erie that can't get to Edinburgh with someone from Union City who's sick and they're all doing church online together and they still feel like they're at church with one another, that's pretty cool. The reality is that we have actually reached a lot more random states than I thought. And okay. I wish there was a better way to know how and why these folks found us. You know, every service I say, hey, if this is your first time, or if you haven't, please fill out an online communication card and tell us how you heard about us. Tell us where you're watching from. There's some states when I look at our Google Analytics, I'm like, how did we get that guy over there? How did it's cool, but I don't have any connection with how we're reaching those people. I did have a guy last week emailed me, and I believe from what I can tell, we had one viewer from Afghanistan. So I'm assuming this is him. He is stationed over there and is a regular attender when he's at home of our Edinburgh location. He said, I wanted church. I wanted to do communion. We actually did communion online together. And he wrote me this fantastic email about being 8,500 miles away and being able to still experience church. So if I reach that guy that's on the other side of the globe, that makes me pretty happy. So, I wouldn't say my expectations have dwindled, but I think God has shown me different ways that I'm going to reach people that might not, you know, move the tally in numbers wise. But even if we started this whole online church just to reach that guy over in Afghanistan, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Like, again, I want to see like all these amazing numbers on my stat sheets, and I want to see this, and I want to see that. But the reality is what has happened is exactly what you said. My 8 o'clock service, I get a lot of the same people coming back over and over again, and they're talking and they're having community together. And people who say that online community is not good and it's not real community, they're wrong, because these people are sharing lives together while they're also hearing about Christ and worshiping the Lord. And I love that. And it's neat to see that. And it's neat that my chat host have interactions with them, and they're really building these friendships. And then it's also great for that person who's traveling and can't be there, but wants to go to church and wants to be a part of a community. They can check in there too. So I agree with you 100% on that. It's really kind of encouraging to see that.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, and it's funny because, again, I would take, you know, as much as I'd love to see 1,000 people show up on, you know, my user sessions or whatever, the one email I get from a guy like, you know, the gentleman from Afghanistan and that's stationed over there, or the one email I get from a woman even 2 weeks ago that said, like, you know, I never felt accepted in the church, and this has been more of a community and more of a church to me than anything I've ever had. And I'm like, wow. Like, I just feel like that one email speaks more to me than, you know, 1,000, you know, website hits, because that shows me that if God's using this platform just to reach her or him, then it's worth doing it every week, because they have found a home here. And like I said, ultimately I would love to get them connected physically. Like, I want to sit down and have coffee with this lady, or I want to see this gentleman when he's serving overseas. But as long as they have a place to go where, like you said, they can worship and spend time together in the presence of Christ, then that is what online church should be. And that's exactly what I've seen. And it's only been 2.5 months. So I'm like, well, what else has God got planned? So I'm excited.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Well, before I let you go, I do want to ask you one thing about what I know. Again, you're still doing, you're still in the very beginning stages of this. Do you have a next step that you're working on other than the midweek service? Do you have something else that you're kind of diving into or getting ready to look at?
The weekend that we launched our services, my senior pastor called me to wish me luck and to say how excited he was. And from the very beginning, he actually said, and once we launch this, I want to talk to you about how we can incorporate children's ministry into this. And I was like, whoa, I don't have any idea. Like, my head's going to explode before we even start church online. But, you know, ever since he said that, I've been scratching my head trying to figure out like what that looks like. And I want to sit down with our children's ministry folks and just say like, hey, you know, what does that look like to you? Is it a separate service for the kids? Do we create content that streams at a different time than our actual church online service? Do we start another church online platform that, you know, coincides with this, that the kids are watching in the other room and you're watching? I don't know what it looks like, but I feel like that's a path that I'm going to probably head down, much of the desire of our senior pastor, because he brought it up as an option. And so I would say that's kind of like my pipe dream for right now, to figure out what that looks like, who else is doing it. Other than that, just polishing our services. I want to get a few more worship songs recorded in the coming year, so we have a nice bank of music to pick from. We seem to get better at that every time we do like a shoot. I mean, we do it at our Edinburgh location. We only have a couple cameras. It's a really low budget production, and we do the best we can. I'm sure you know what that's like.
Yeah.
So I want to polish those and just make our services feel better. And I want to continue to push online small groups, because that's one of our pillars at McLean Church, is getting people connected in a small group. And my wife and I have found so much growth in our walk through our small groups. So I'm passionate about small groups, and I want to continue to find ways to get people from church online to doing a Zoom call like you and I are doing right now and praying for one another. And so I want to figure out how to get, we have a couple, we're kind of testing a few like Facebook group, small groups, you know, people are studying together a curriculum and they're doing Facebook Live, and I think it's going well, but I want to expand upon that and see if there's a way to kind of do small groups online as well. And I know it's possible, but yeah, want to explore that.
Dude, that's awesome. This is so encouraging, man. And like, now I'm like reliving the early parts of when we first launched, and this is exciting. You've got a lot going on, man, and I can't wait to keep in touch with you and continue to hear what God does in your ministry, because it seems like you got some great stuff going on there. So, dude, this has been fantastic.
Hey, thanks, Tom. And I honestly, a lot of the inspiration I have and the ideas come from community like you're involved with. Like, I have met so many awesome people online, like yourself. I have accessed so many resources online. I mean, it's amazing how God like set up the online space for us to work together, but to reach, you know, people. And it's been fun to connect with people. And if anyone's listening to this podcast or following me on Twitter, thank you, because all the other online site pastors and all the other people out there trying to do ministry have definitely inspired me and encouraged me. And so I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. The simple fact that you and I met online, I would have never met you before unless it was online. It was through Twitter, which we both seem to really love. So that's good. Hey, well, I do want people to connect with you. So quickly, what's your social media? What's the best place for them to get a hold of you? And what's your website as well?
Yeah, I love Twitter. Like you said, that's how we connected. So you can find me on Twitter, at C Norris, just like Chuck Norris, indeed.
Nice.
C_Norris_10. And that's where I connect with people, and I kind of tweet about everything from higher ed social media to online, so our online church. And I'm a big Cleveland sports fan, so if you don't mind seeing some angry Cleveland Browns tweets on there, please follow me. And then Instagram, I'm on there as well, cnorris10. You're just going to see a bunch of pictures of my son. So
that's awesome. And I'm going to include all your links in the show notes so people can just kind of click on that as well. Dude, well, this was fantastic. I'm definitely going to have you on again. So this was a great conversation. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. So there you have it, my conversation with Chris. It was fantastic. And I loved how he put in that little Chuck Norris little side jab there, because when I saw his name, Chris Norris, I thought, hey, Chuck Norris. It's like Chuck Norris. But I wonder if he gets that a lot. Maybe Chris, if you're listening to this podcast right now, do you get that a lot? Anyways, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Again, we went back and forth on a lot of different things on Church Online stuff. And so what stood out to you? Share it with me. You can get on Twitter and hashtag YMSidekick, but just share your thoughts on Church Online and what you're doing and how you're doing it differently than Chris and I. And let's have a conversation. It'd be great to talk about that. Or you can even hit me up on my email, tom@ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for us today. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe to it. It comes out every Wednesday. And even get on there and rate it, hopefully as a positive, not as a negative, but give me a good old rating. That would be awesome. And you can also go to ymsidekick.com to subscribe to it as well. You can get on Google Play as well as iTunes. But on at ymsidekick.com, I've got my blog, I got some vlogs, the podcast, and I got my Twitter ebook on the Twitter advantage, three distinct advantages that Twitter offers you as a minister to help expand your reach. So I would encourage you to download that today as well. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you next time for a whole new episode. Have a great one, everyone.